We turn back to the Psalms this evening. We turn to Psalm 99, and we'll be looking at verse 5. I'd like to read the whole Psalm since it's brief, and you're going to see the name that we're studying tonight used four times in the Psalm. Look for it, the Lord our God, Jehovah Eloheinu, the Lord our God. It's a name of God used very frequently in the Scriptures. I believe Mr. Lockyer said it is 19 times in Deuteronomy, significant considering its context, and we'll be looking at some of the uses in Deuteronomy this evening. This compound name of God, the Lord our God, that the people of God have to say to him often, and again, just four times in this psalm alone. Look for that. And hear now the word of God, Psalm 99, verse 5 will be the theme verse of our sermon. But the last verse, also verse 9, is very similar. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord, our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. Thou, though, tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Verse 9, again, very similar to verse 5. Let's review verse 5, our theme text this evening. Exalt ye the Lord our God, Jehovah Eloheinu. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Well, notice in verse 4, it speaks of God's judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Now, that is a name of, one of the patriarchs we studied last week with the name of God, Jacob. But remember that we saw last week that his name was changed to Israel. Jacob, we saw last time in Genesis, named an altar as a new name for God, El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel. And we saw that that was basically him saying, God, or the strong one, is my God, because Israel was a name that God had just given him, meaning God prevails, or the Lord prevails. And why was that significant to him? Because he's after Abraham and Isaac. He's the next in line of the covenant, the chosen son, and yet he was essentially exiled. He went away for 20 years because of his foolishness. He was disciplined by God, and as he came back, he was afraid, would Esau take him out? He prayed to God, he wrestled with God, he was delivered, and as he came back to the promised land, being gone so long, wondering, will God show that he is my God? Remember, he wondered that just before he left the promised land. Will I ever return here? And if I do, then I'll know that God is my God. And God brought him back, so he knew, he confirmed, though he was delinquent, the Lord disciplined him as a child, being his father, and showed, yes, you are still my child, so yes, I am still your God. At that point when he said, El Elohe Israel, God is the God of Israel, he was speaking mainly of himself. But his people that developed out of him took on that name, just as they take the name Jacob. Jacob now in the Psalms, later in the Scriptures, is a name that really reflects the whole church, and so does Israel. They take on the name of Israel. And so we looked at how we can say the Lord is my God. And as a people, you can say the Lord is our God. Jehovah Eloheinu. the name we study tonight. Now, this is used four times in Psalm 99 alone. It's a song for God's people to sing in worship together that He is our God. Look at verses. Well, let's look at the verses again where this name is used. Verse 5, our theme verse, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Verse 8, thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. And then verse 9, notice that it's used twice. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. So you can see it's a value to us to study this name. It's used so frequently just in this psalm alone as it is through the scriptures. Think about Jacob when he said, God is the God of Israel, the Lord is my God. He was relieved when he made that name for the altar. He was relieved to know that he was still the chosen son of Abraham and Isaac. This was a relief to him. He wondered if he had lost it, but God confirmed, no, you're my chosen son. You're the next in the line of the patriarchs of the covenant. So he was relieved when he put that name upon the altar. So the church that bears his name, Israel, should rejoice for being God's chosen people, hand-selected out of the world, hand-delivered through the world. His people should rejoice. Just as he was relieved, you and I should be relieved that we can say, the Lord is our God. Moses proclaims how this is so undeserved, and it is so praiseworthy, such a privilege to be able to be God's chosen people. Deuteronomy, where that name is used often, Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 7, listen to a few of the verses. Recognize, as this psalm is, it's such a privilege to say the Lord our God, to know His name as involved with we being His people. He says, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Notice our psalm talks about they called on Him and He answered. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Notice the word chosen. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Moses is saying, do you realize what an amazing thing it is to be God's people? And to be able to call upon Him as the Lord, our God? He hasn't done this with other nations. He hasn't done this with most of the people of the earth. You have the privileges of approaching Almighty God. Think of all of those names we've learned. El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah Nissi, this mighty, amazing God. And He has called you out of the world and unto Himself to assemble before Him and worship Him, the Lord, our God. No longer serving and worshiping false gods. No longer calling upon things that can do nothing for you, that can't hear you, won't listen, won't do anything for you. He's called on you. He's chosen you out of this world to be His people. And Moses says, do you realize how good you have it? This is a privilege. This is special. Because God's people are unconditionally chosen by Him to be His church. They should humbly choose to glorify God together. I submit that to you as the idea of our verse tonight, Psalm 99, verse 5. Because God's people are unconditionally chosen by Him to be His church, they should humbly choose to glorify God together. Especially due to their fallen, pathetic condition that only continues to be on full display. You and I ought to be coming together, exalting Him humbly, bowing before Him, exalting His name, because you and I recognize not only did we not deserve to be called His people, we still don't deserve to be called His people. We still don't deserve to come before Him together and call upon Him as the Lord our God. May we remember that. May you remember that. We don't deserve to do this. We've simply been graciously chosen to do this. Notice the repetition of God's name. It's striking to me how often we see this thinking about the names of God as we've been having this study. So let's not pass over that. Look at verse 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Notice we're to praise his terrible holy name, and as we call upon his name in worship and praise and prayer, he hears us, he answers us. But notice there are other names in the text. We just saw in verse 6, Moses, Aaron, Samuel. Well, who are they? They are ministers of God, chosen by God. Chosen by God from among His chosen people to serve His chosen people. You see, this is all recognizing the being God's people and what a privilege it is to call upon Him as the Lord our God. And we have a history of being His people. And this story is moving on through every age of His people, through all generations, until He comes back, and in the end we are all worshiping in the new heavens and the new earth, the Lord our God. And no one else will be here who has not the privilege of having known Him now as the Lord our God. It will be a covenant worshiping community for eternity. And only those who experience and know that now and know that name as His people now will know it later. Why should they exalt God? Because He has separated them out of the wicked world. Separated them, separated us in Him who is Himself sacred. That is, holy. Notice this emphasis by repetition of holy. He's so holy. He's called us into the holy place to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. He hasn't called very many people to do that. Look at verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9 twice, the idea of Him and His name being holy. And to be able to do that, you have to be holy. Remember Isaiah 6, he says, I'm an unholy person, I'm among an unclean people. And it must be that God sends the coal and touches us and makes us clean, makes us holy, that we could come and worship Him. That's the whole imagery of the tabernacle and later the temple. The whole book of Leviticus, we must be made holy who were unholy. And then He calls we who He has made holy to be holy, to live holy, because He is holy. Recognize this privilege again. He's called us to a whole different life, a sacred, set-apart, special, noble life. Calling upon the Lord our God in holy worship every week on the holy Sabbath along the way. He's made us His holy temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. What a calling to be God's church. how it should humble us. To be called together and to be made sacred as a people. To cause us also not only to be humble, but to gather together and raise up his holy name in praise. This word exalt, you could translate raise up. Think about that. We're to be raising up his name. We're to be lifting it up in glory. Because he's chosen us. He's made us holy. He's made we who were filthy and part of the earthlings of this fallen world. He's made us saints. Fellowship with angels as well as the Trinity. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10, reflecting Exodus 19. Ye are a chosen generation. Speaking to you people now, the church in this generation, ye, through Christ, are a chosen, notice, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Let me read that for you again. Try to take it in. We're very familiar with these words. Let's stop and think about. We're calling upon the Lord our God tonight, Jehovah Eloheinu. He is our God, and this means he's done something to us. Because to call upon him as the Lord our God means we're his people, means we are his church. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And why has he done that? What should come of that? Knowing this about ourselves, able to call upon him as the Lord our God. Well, 1 Peter goes on to say, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And as you look through the psalm, you see how he has mercy. He forgives. Verse 8, he forgives even though he should take vengeance on us. You see, beloved, if God is not our God, if we cannot call upon the Lord our God, then he would take vengeance on us, especially in the end. He would take vengeance on us for all of our sins. But because he's the Lord our God, he has mercy. He forgives us. He's chosen us as vessels of his mercy, Romans 9. He doesn't choose everyone to be vessels of his mercy. He has chosen us. And I think again of what Fernanda and I heard. We were speaking with a lady at the homeschooling class day this week. Parents getting together, doing classes together for our children, and we were at a break and talking with a lady who was one of many children and was of a mother. Her mother tried to teach her that teach her atheism and that God was a crutch. This is a woman who abused alcohol and eventually took her own life. And she said, I was going the same direction. And when I was 12, I met a young girl who was asking God to give her a friend. And she kept witnessing to me. And through that relationship, she ended up believing on God. And she shared the gospel, and I believe one of her brothers in her family turned to God. She ended up going to Bible school with that young girl who shared the gospel with her. She's raised a family in the Lord. And the way she speaks about her salvation, though she isn't new about it, it's as if she is. And she spoke about it this way. The only reason that I believed this message and others didn't was the Holy Spirit. And I don't know that she would affirm the doctrines of grace and Calvinism if we were to spell them out that way, but she talked like a Calvinist, did she not? The only reason that I believed and others didn't is the Holy Spirit. Doctrine of regeneration. And she said, why me? Why me? I was going the same direction as the rest of my family went. Why me? She says, it's just grace. Amen. Sovereign grace. And this is true for us. And may we all be like that. Talk about it like it happened yesterday. And we're little children. We're just so grateful to have been made God's people who were not a people, to have been chosen and called out from this world that is headed for destruction, waiting for hellfire upon it. May we be thankful that God has made us pilgrims and removed the burden off our backs, has sent us on to the celestial city on the hard but right way, sparing us, getting us through Vanity Fair, keeping us from being dragged down by it into the pit of despair, caged up in other places. It's simply His sovereign grace. He's called us out from the world and all these sad, dying, desperate people and made us His people. He's chosen us. As Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you so that we would obtain mercy, so that we would be calling upon the Lord our God for eternity in praise and thankfulness, giving Him glory as vessels not of judgment but of His mercy. Thank you, Lord." You see, the doctrine of gracious, sovereign election should not cause arrogance but humble praise. And for truly saved people who understand who they are and what they should have, and they have no business calling upon the name of the Lord our God amongst His people. They have no business thinking they are a holy people. It doesn't make you arrogant, as some would warn. It's not arrogant to believe in the doctrine of election. It's to recognize I had nothing to do with it. It should make us very, very thankful. We should be exalting God for the fact that we have been sovereignly selected into praising people. And that's what we'll be doing for eternity. Revelation 19, verse 1. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah," which means praise the Lord. "Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." See, if you are singing that name now, it is your privilege to sing it later, when everyone else will wish they could. Notice this call in both verses 5 and 9 is to raise up God's name. Again, exalt God's name. Exalt the Lord our God. It could be translated raise up, which I find helpful, just this visual idea of let's raise up the banner of Jehovah Nissi. Let's praise Him before the nations. Let's assemble to give glory to the God of gods, the Lord of lords. There is none other. Let us be exalting and magnifying the name of our God together and pray that people might be looking from the darkness outside these windows to the light coming through even now and be drawn to it mercifully, as we too have been drawn. Raise up God's name. Notice both times, what does that involve doing? Again, remembering that we should be humble as we approach Him, recognizing we don't have any business being here or doing this. Bowing. Notice the idea of bowing in both of the verses. The way that we exalt the Lord is to bow and not exalt ourselves. Not to take any glory, not to take any acknowledgement. We have nothing to do with election. We have nothing to do with being chosen. We have nothing to do with being God's people. So may we simply be about, if we're going to glory, let us glory in the Lord, as Paul would say. Humble ourselves. Bow down low. Bow the knee before Jesus Christ and confess with your tongue that He is the Lord our God over the church, King and head of the church. It's the same thing that we sang in the other psalm this morning, right? Psalm 95. "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker." And remember that three times different words in the Hebrew is pretty much bow down, kneel down. Get lower and lower and lower. Maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing for us to be kneeling in worship, certainly a posture seen in Scripture, at times at least. to humble ourselves low before the Lord, to prostrate ourselves before the Lord and express we don't deserve to call upon your name at all, let alone as the Lord our God. Notice we bow down before his footstool. Was there not a woman who was willing to bow and cry over his feet and clean them with her hair and tears? Are you approaching the Lord our God like that this evening? And the scriptures say that the footstool is the entire earth. God's footstool is the entire earth. It's no place we should find ourselves where we are not praising God with his people as the Lord our God, recognizing his rule over our lives, his investment in us, his intention in us, his interest in us, and that we should continue to be invested and interested in him. Notice also in verse 9, worship him, bow down before him at his holy hill. Have Mount Sinai in view. First of all, we thank him for his holy law and that Jesus has fulfilled it for us. And that Jesus, on behalf of his people, died on the cross to pay our penalty due to us for our sins for breaking it. As we saw in 1 John 5 tonight, because all unrighteousness is sin. And are not all of our righteousness as filthy rags? Are we not unworthy of the least of all his mercies? But let us also be thinking about Mount Zion, as referenced in verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let us be thinking of Mount Zion, holy Jerusalem, that will be coming out of heaven. And we'll be dwelling with him and worshiping him, calling upon the Lord our God for eternity. Your response to God for being chosen together at his church, as his church, what should it be? Humility and praise. May God impress it upon our hearts. It's my prayer for myself tonight. It's my prayer for you. That God would truly move our hearts to be so thankful to be able to call upon the Lord our God as the name of our God, to know him as the Lord our God, to assemble and worship him, because we recognize it's simply his sovereign grace. He's chosen us to do this. He's brought us together, called us out of the world, set us apart for himself to be holy as he is holy. And it's simply his sovereign grace. And if he were to deal with us as we deserve, we wouldn't be here. We'd be left in darkness. We would never know him. We would be out with the masses thinking we have it so great, laughing and pitying those who are here in places like this at this moment. And we'd be so fallen and so lost, we wouldn't even know. And we think it's great to be calling ourselves something else and someone else. He is so merciful. He's so gracious to us to give us his names, to reveal himself to us in the scriptures by his Holy Spirit. He's so gracious to meet with us and speak with us tonight. Beloved, we are small in numbers. And he delights and rejoices in the day of small things. And he has condescended here to be with you tonight as the Lord your God. It's truly amazing. Don't ever get used to that. Don't ever take that for granted. God have mercy on us if we do. Don't ever approach him exalting yourself. Come before him always on your knees, saying, I am not worthy to be called your son. Let me just be your servant. And then to be thankful that he yet celebrates with you and puts a robe on you. But never approach him as if you are entitled. Approach him thankful that he's given you the title of sons and daughters of God when you deserve nothing like that, and I deserve nothing like that. Approach him with humility and praise. Approach him like this. Let us approach him like this. We are not worthy. Approach him like this. Worthy is the Lamb. Not all people, not many people can say together, the Lord our God. As the King of Kings serve you his communion tonight, this evening, may you all together from your heart raise up the name of Jehovah Eloheinu as he raises up the cup before you and says, I've made you my people. And I want to remind you to remember me and to remember my once for all sacrifice to have made you my people. I've chosen you. I've come to save you. I have saved you. It is done. May we together join in this supper and be so very thankful to know because the Lord is our God, we will celebrate at the great supper of the Lamb on the last day. May we come together and bow our hearts before Jesus, lift up our eyes to him, and exalt the Lord our God. As we have considered that name tonight in its context, and we see it really applied in those two verses, verses 5 and 9. Let us do just that, beloved. Let us exalt the Lord our God. Let us come before him very low, very humble, and exalt and lift up and raise up his name this evening and always. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of Israel. You have made us who were not a people, your people. You have made us who were unholy and scattered, a holy nation. You have made us royal priests, to serve you together in holy worship. You've made us your holy temple. You call on us as the assembled ones in your presence, called out of this world to worship you. O Lord, our God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. And in your names, thank you, Holy Spirit, for causing us to hear you and to believe, to call upon your name, for as the psalm says, when we call upon your name that is holy, you answer us. Lord, impress upon us your sovereign grace. Impress upon us who we are in Christ. Impress upon us our unworthiness. Let us always approach you with deep humility and gratitude, that we would be appropriately worshiping you and appropriately coming to partake of your holy supper, aware of how unworthy we are, and yet that you have called us together as your holy people, and you would have us remember this yet still. So as you hold up the cup before us and the bread, let us be deeply grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God taking away all our sins. Let us be thankful you have made us your people. You have a calling upon our life, and you call us to call upon the name of the Lord our God. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us tonight and to cause us to choose to come and bow before you and glorify and exalt you this evening. Continue to inhabit our praise, O Lord. Be pleased with it through Christ, and through Christ let it be a pleasing thing to us, a pleasant time together, as we're practicing for heaven, when there'll be no one on earth except those who know your name, Jehovah Eloheinu, the Lord our God. Help us as we go out this week to serve you, to count it such a privilege to know you and your names, and as we, the people of God, that we have God as our Father, Christ as our brother, Holy Spirit as our comforter, and one another as our family and household of God. Something we get to taste and experience now, and one day face to face and forever. We had no business being here tonight in and of ourselves, but you've made it our business because you've made us your people. We do thank you. Let us remember to call on this name, especially in family worship and in worship as your church, to express and experience who you are and who we are together and forever. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen.